And would you open up that Bible once again with me to the gospel reading that is found in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. That can be found on page 1228. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, here and now, if there's something that needs to be changed in our life, change it. If we need new direction, give us that direction. And may we always check on our priorities. I ask this blessing and prayer in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. We have a theme for the year 2022, devoted to serve. This morning I ask you once again, what are you devoted to? Today in my message I want to share with you the good news about new creation, new direction, and new priority. Now, I started out with an object lesson for the children. Now I have one for you. Have you ever seen anything like this before? Those of you in the back who can't read, it's called Red Bull. Let's see if you understand what the commercials say about Red Bull. Red Bull gives you... It's figurative language. If you've ever drank one of these, and I did once, somebody gave me something like Red Bull, and I tell you, it was like I was floating. I was so wired... I couldn't feel my feet. And with that, we understand Red Bull, you know, the commercials, Red Bull gives you wings. I never understood that until I drank one. I would say Red Bull gets you wired. Well, if you understand that, you understand what Paul is saying to us in our epistle reading. He uses this figurative language to describe something that happens on the inside. Red Bull is not Red Bull until it goes on the inside of you. And then something comes out of you. It gives you wings, but Red Bull doesn't give you wings. I'm here to tell you, God gives you wings. Let's take a closer look at what Paul says. Open up that Bible, follow along. Listen to what he says. For the love of Christ controls us. What controls you? It is this love that is so unique, the love of God. It's not based upon our appearance or our ability or what we have done. It's selflessly given to us. It's what we need deep down inside, that true love. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Paul later on, in verse 21, describes it like this. He made him who had no sin, sin, so we could receive his righteousness. I'm going to call it the great exchange. On the cross, God the Father said, I place on you, Jesus, the sin of the world. And in exchange, I take your righteousness and place it on the people of the world. and give it to the people of the world. It's called substitute atonement. Jesus' righteousness is now ours, and all of our sin is upon Him. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. How many of you ever seen The Lion King, the movie? Maybe both of them, yeah. Mufasa has a great line that can be applied in this animated movie for us. He says, you know, everyone, there are many who look and search for what they can take. But a true king searches for what he can give. We have that true king. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the King of kings. And he gave his life and he died on that cross for you and for me. And he rose on the third day. And we know this. And it is that love that controls us. It is that true love that motivates us and moves us. It's the true love that every man, woman, and child on earth is really searching for. So because of that, what we know about our God who created heaven and earth and gave his life for us, Paul says, all right, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Meaning when you look at somebody today, you see them in the flesh, but you look beyond that. You say, I know what they could be. You see, we can have microscopic vision, a microscope, look at the flesh, or telescoping vision. Look to the future and see what somebody might be in Christ. We no longer just regard people in the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, at one time people just looked at Jesus as an ordinary man. Just a good prophet maybe, like Moses. But no, they realized after his death and resurrection, he is God Almighty. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the one who gave life to me and died for me and will give me eternal life. We once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. We see Christ in his human nature and his divine nature. 17. Therefore, here it is again. All this adds up to something. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says it this way. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ in me. In this reading, you are in Christ. In Galatians, Christ is in you. But it has to come out. And what comes out is we are a new creature. Let me use animation to help you understand this. I want you to imagine in your mind two caterpillars crawling on the ground. All they do is crawl and eat. Eat and crawl. And a butterfly flies over them. One caterpillar nudges the other and says, you would never get me up in one of those. And the butterfly heard that and came floating down and landed on a branch. Looked at the two caterpillars and said, pause, strangers. As you pass me by, For as you are now, so once was I. But as I am now, you could be. And the one caterpillar nudges the other over my dead body. The butterfly says that's what it would take. And the other caterpillar says, I'm not interested. Now, if you can understand that, you can understand what God is trying to do for us. What makes us different than caterpillars is we can receive what God wants to do to us, a metamorphosis, a change, or we have the awesome power to say, I want nothing to do with it. Forget it. Today, Christians throughout the world are celebrating Transfiguration Sunday. Lutherans, Methodists, Catholics. Transfiguration Sunday is when Jesus takes three disciples, Peter, James, and John, to a mountain, and he's transfigured before them. He allows them to see not only his flesh, but his divinity, and in all of its glory. Do you ever wonder why he did that? So they would no longer just consider his flesh, but his divinity, but also to remind each and every one of us and to show each and every one of us what God is trying to do inside of us. Transform us. He was saying to those disciples, it's coming for you too. You will be transformed. It's the same terminology. You are a new creation in Christ. You have been transformed, never to be the same. It's not Red Bull that gives you wings. It is Christ that gives you wings. To go from the flesh to the divinity, from this world to the next world, and to see things differently as a new creation. It happens on the inside out. New creation. And then he gives us new direction. Let's take a look at that. 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 18. All this is from God. A caterpillar and that transformation into a butterfly is what God does. For us to go from the flesh to a new creation, that's what God does. It's called justification. It's what God has done for us. He justifies us. He says, I see the righteousness of my Son, not your sin. You are righteous before me. Justification is what God does for us. The next step is sanctification. It's what God is continually doing for us. Listen to how it's worded. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me say that again. The ministry of reconciliation. Nowhere's in the Bible, and I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, okay? Nowhere's in the Bible are we given the ministry of music. Sorry, Nathan. Sorry, Lynn. Nowhere's in the Bible are we given the ministry of liturgy. You open up that hymn. It's all liturgy. Sorry. Nowhere's in the Bible are we given the ministry of building buildings. You know what ministry we're given? The ministry of reconciliation. Where we are charged by God. I am charged by God. You're charged by God. To be about the direction of reconciliation. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. There's nothing wrong with liturgy. There's nothing wrong with building buildings. There's nothing wrong with music ministry. Thank God for them all as long as they glorify Him. But our direction is reconciliation. Who is being reconciled to God? At the end of every year, we should stop as a church and say, all right, where has it happened? Where is reconciliation taking place? Where are people coming to know the love of God Almighty? Listen to the words of Paul. If by the death of Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to the Father. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been saved by the wrath of God, the Father. For we were once enemies, and now we've been reconciled. How much more shall He save us? Two savings? See, the blood of Jesus Christ saves us from the wrath of God. God is a just God. And the blood of Jesus enables Him to substitute atonement, and we have His righteousness. That's justification. Sanctification is an ongoing process with you and me. The death of Jesus Christ saves us from the wrath of God, and the life of Jesus Christ saves us, ready for this? From ourselves. You know who your own worst enemy is? Yourself. Sanctification is a day in and day out process that God saves us from ourselves. It's something that needs to be done on a daily basis. That's why we confess in the meaning of the Apostles' Creed, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Enlighten me with the gifts and sanctifies me. It's a daily thing. We have to be sanctified. That's an ongoing process. And in this new creation, we have the ministry of reconciliation because other people need that. That is, in Christ, God is reconciling the world to Himself. Here's the ministry, reconciliation. Go and make disciples of all nations. God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And entrusting to us, notice that, to us, the message of reconciliation. We have a new creation, that's us. We have a new direction as a new creation, bringing others to Christ. And then He takes us to the next level, priorities. What's your priority as a Christian? Coming to church on Sunday? Is that your priority? Listen to what Paul says is our priority. Therefore, here it says it again, new creation, message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. You probably have called yourself a Christian before. You're probably proud that you are a Christian. A follower of Jesus Christ. But you know what Paul calls you? The Bible says some are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors. You know what Paul is calling each and every one of you? An ambassador. Christianity, I'm a Christian, is one level. The next level is I'm an ambassador. I don't know if you're getting this. Turn to somebody near to you and say, you're an ambassador. Come on, and say back, you are too. What's an ambassador? What have you learned in elementary school and in high school and college? An ambassador is somebody who doesn't appoint themselves. They don't walk into China and say, I am the ambassador for the United States of America. Listen to me. No, you have to be chosen. If you're here this morning, if you've been baptized and you believe in Jesus Christ, you have been chosen by God to be an ambassador. An ambassador is somebody who speaks for their country and has the authority of their country, the protection of their country. And if somebody's a really good ambassador, they learn the language of that country and tries to understand how that country operates. As an ambassador, do you realize God is behind you? He has chosen you. You speak for Him and you represent Him. Let me tell you, the best way that you can do the ministry of reconciliation, it's not by coming to church. It's by the way you live outside of those doors. 24/7 is what an ambassador is. It's by the way you live, the way you conduct your life, the way you represent God Almighty in your marriage, where you work, when you're at Walmart. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. And the only way you're effective is when it comes out in your life and in the way you live. Listen to these words once again. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled. Be the ambassador. You know who the most effective person in a church is? It's 100 ambassadors, not one pastor. It's not churches. It's not music. It's not stained glass. It's people seeing lives changed. It's ambassadors of Christ not living like the world, but showing a different life. Let me wrap it up for you. Some of you know the name John Wesley, born in 1700, broke away from the church in England, started the Methodist Church. He rode 250,000 miles on a horse, 10 times around the earth, preaching. One night on his horse, somebody said, "Halt!" Grabbed the bridle of his horse and said, "Your life or your money." He was being robbed. He quickly emptied his pocket. He went and opened up his saddlebags, showed him all the books, and said, "Take what you want." Opened up the saddle box on the other side of his horse, said, "Oh, books, take what you want." The robber was very disappointed. He didn't have much money. He walked away from John Wesley, and John Wesley said, "Stop. Come back here. I have something more for you." It intrigued the robber. He said, "What?" He stopped, turned around, came back. He said, "Now listen. In the future, if you come to realize this life isn't all that, it's not as satisfying as you think, and you come to realize this is not what you should be doing and it's wrong, I'm here to tell you that it is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that cleanses us all, including me and you, from sin. And he just shook his head and walked away. You want to get rid of a robber? Start talking about Jesus. Years later, John Wesley was preaching in the evening, and as the crowd dispersed, one man hung back. A prominent businessman in the community, and better, a child of God. When everybody dispersed, he walked up, and they recognized each other, the former robber. And he got down on one knee, grabbed John Wesley's hand and kissed it, and said, "Sir, my dear friend, I owe it all to you." You see, God used that gospel. A man who didn't take revenge, a man who didn't argue, a man who understood this fleshly robber had a future where he could fly, and used his words to transform that robber. And he said, "I owe it all to you," on his knees. And you know what John Wesley said? "No, no, stop, halt. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has cleansed us all from our sin. You want to be an ambassador for Christ? Live it." There are four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I believe there's a fifth one. It's the ambassador for Christ. For some people, the only Christ they'll ever know is you and me. We're a new creation. We have new direction. And by the grace of God, we have a new priority. It's being an ambassador. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you've done for us. You are true love. And we know it. It has changed us. May we never forget that we have a message. You desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. We need to see people as what they could be, knowing that Red Bull doesn't give wings, Christ gives wings. And someday we'll fly by the grace of God to heaven. Until then, may we never forget we're all called to be ambassadors. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.